thank God for another privilege to come forth to the Word of God. Tonight we want to go into the Word of pertaining to eating Christ, feeding on Christ. How do we eat Christ? How do we feed on Him? First of all, let us turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And look into the words of the Lord Jesus as He spoke about how we should eat Him. I want an appropriate place to start. Let's look at verse 48 to 51, 52. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove against themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Remember, we spoke to you about the three planes, the three dimensions of the Word of God. Jesus was speaking on the natural plane, our number one dimension. Could I make my little drawing at the corner here while she goes on with that? I'll draw the... No, what am I drawing here? Three dimensions, just an ordinary box. And number one dimension is always the natural. Number two is always the spiritual. And number three is always the fulfillment of the spiritual. You see what I mean? So when Jesus speaks naturally, He doesn't mean just naturally, but He has a spiritual meaning. And if you follow that spiritual meaning, it will bring you to a fullness. Amen. And a complete coming forth of this fullness is in the end time. So all things are coming together under Christ in our time. Things that the Lord showed us in the scriptures and the Old Testament, there is nothing in the Old Testament that is just Bible history. Some people say this is the history of the Jewish nation and the Bible is just a history book and so on. But there is nothing in the Bible that doesn't point to Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something else. There are many things that God could have put in the Bible if they had any spiritual meaning. You will find that God skips out many things in the Bible. For instance, God said in Matthew chapter 1, He said, this is the generation of Jesus Christ. And from Adam right down to Jesus, He only gave us 41 generations. And He said it was 42, but we know who is the 42nd generation. We won't quarrel over that. If you don't understand me, you are the 42nd generation, the last children that Jesus will have. But to come back to the point, I'm just showing you that they only named the people who received the mantle of Jesus Christ coming down the ages. They skipped out all those good people, many of them. But only those who were appointed of God to bring forth this man child, this Jesus man, only these people were counted. So you see what I mean, that everything in the Bible is pointing to Jesus Christ. And if you don't know what it is saying, it doesn't mean that it isn't pointing to Jesus. Amen. Because we don't know everything. So let's go on. Jesus said here that the Jews should eat his flesh, and they were upset. He said, then Jesus said unto them, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Sound barbaric, eh? Eat his flesh and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me even shall live by me. My goodness. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Jesus Christ knew he was talking to carnal people. He knew he was only exciting their ire against himself. Yet Jesus Christ could not afford to tell carnal people spiritual things. So he had to leave the carnal thing in their hands and let them fight over it. Bless his holy name. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we look at what Brother Paul said. I don't want you to be in darkness because you are not carnal. All right? I'm going to tell you the true spiritual meaning before I go on any further with this eating business. Amen. Let's turn to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 10, verse 7. Then he said, I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. I hope you can say that. I hope you didn't come here for any other purpose. Amen. Jesus said, I come to do thy will, O God. And I hope every human being here will be able to say, Lord God, I come to do thy will, O God. I have no other intention, no other desire, no other reason to live but to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Above, when he said, sacrifice an offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldst not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Speaking of the law and the establishment of grace, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering sacrifice, oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Praise God. Jesus Christ will not come again until all his enemies are under his feet. Some people have Jesus Christ coming in order to lift us out And I suffer much persecution from the brethren for preaching that the whole thing is going to be finished before Jesus comes back here. But Acts chapter 4 tells us, verse 21, tells us that the heavens shall hold him. The heavens shall retain him. The heavens shall hold him back until the restitution of all things before Jesus Christ will come here again. So if we read our Bibles properly, we will understand that Jesus' coming will not be until we have finished eating him. We must finish the meal. Praise God. Now, I haven't shown you the scripture I wanted to show you. Somehow, I seem to have missed that scripture. It must have been 1 Corinthians. Yes, I think that's what I'm looking for. 1 Corinthians, and let's read chapter 10 I wanted to give you. I said Hebrews, I meant 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul was speaking about the communion, and many of us don't understand communion. So let us see what Paul said here about the communion. Verse 15, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we blessed, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. What's he talking about? Blessed be to God. Amen. We are the body of Christ. When we break bread and take communion, we are saying one to another and to God our witness and our judge, I eat from you, you eat from me. We are all part of one bread. That's why we break one loaf and divide it up among ourselves. If at the same time while I am eating with you, I have my knife in your back, then I am slaying Jesus Christ. Amen. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and some die because they cannot discern the body of Jesus Christ. I'm going one step further, and I hope you'll say hallelujah also. There are other bodies that are contrary to the body of Jesus Christ. Other groups, other bodies that are against the body of Jesus Christ. If I commune with bodies and groups and peoples who are against the body of Jesus Christ, I am actually joining with the persecutors and the murderers of Jesus. Hard words. Check it out. You check it out with your Bible and with your God. Jesus said, we are one bread and one body. And there is no part of my body that's going to fight against a part of my body. If we realize by what means we are joined together, we stop fighting one another. Amen. We are not joined together by our doctrines. We are not joined together by what this Bible school teaches or what that Bible school teaches. We are joined together by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we begin to eat from each other, we begin to partake of the body. Hallelujah. What am I talking about? Look, brethren, when you eat in the natural, you supply the energy for this natural body. When you eat in the spiritual, your soul is made alive. Hallelujah. I was dead one day, stone dead, as dead could be, bound for hell. a woman told me that Jesus said. Hallelujah. She challenged me. She said, you go into your room and tell Jesus, I say to tell him that if you ask him for salvation, he'll give you. I know that when I left that woman, I was in a great rut. I left her and I knew she was praying. She was sending out some of that wine. She was pouring the wine all over me. I'll describe what the wine is afterwards. But she had given me the bread of her soul. That which she had received of the Lord, she had digested it into our spiritual being, and she had issued it forth upon me and given me life from her own soul. Amen. I spoke of the bees last night, the ministry. Amen. Bees are people who have no sex. The worker bee has no sex. It is neither male nor female, like the angels. And the worker bee is the one that makes the honey. It goes out and it takes the nectar from the flowers. That means it extracts the truth. I'm symbolically speaking now. Flowers in the symbolic language is truth. And it extracts the truth and swallows it down into its own stomach. And then that bee flies 6 miles or less with that burden in its stomach. Why did the bee eat so much? Not for itself. It was carrying it to vomit it up. A bad word. It was carrying that honey to bring it up again and to put it into the comb. But you know that bee swallows that thing again and bring it up again. Hallelujah. And the bee brings forth the honey from within itself until that honey is thick enough and all the water is taken out of it by the bee's own body, and it leaves the honey into that comb. And when that comb is filled, it seals it up. Blessed be to God. Hallelujah. And God is showing us a people who can chew the cud. Amen. I want you to hold on to the scripture there. And let us turn around to Leviticus. We are still in John chapter 6. Let's go over to Leviticus chapter 11. And see what God says in the law. Remember, I tell you that the Old Testament and the New Testament is the same. The New Testament is only an explanation of the Old Testament. Praise be to God. So some people believe they have two different Bibles, eh? We're looking for Leviticus now. Chapter 11. And God says unto Moses and to Aaron, say unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth, whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. What are we talking about? We're talking about clean animals. It must chew cud. Three things the clean animal has. It is a cud chewing animal, number one. Number two, it is a cloven footed animal. Amen. And what else? It parts the hoof. Two parted. As a cud chewing animal, it represents the clean Christian that takes in food and gives it off back. Amen. You take it in, you bring it up, you chew it again, you swallow again, and you take it in again, you let it out again and take it in. And just like the cow has how many stomachs? Four. You see, that's what God is showing. A person who receives the word of God, the truth, and you don't just leave it there, but that thing continues until it becomes flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. Can you imagine the word of God, the energy, the spirit becoming part of your being? This is what God is saying. The animal continues to chew that grass until the grass becomes meat and flesh and blood. Hallelujah. So that cud chewing animal mean that you must speak the right things, and you must have the right word of God from your mouth. The cud, chew your cud properly. Amen. Then you cannot just be a cud chewer and you don't walk properly. You must walk with that cloven hoof. Your feet what? Shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm interpreting your Bible for you, right? I'm just interpreting it the way it was interpreted to me by the Spirit. Amen. Now, then you must be parted. The hoof must part in two. It must be, you must walk and stand by the Spirit and by the Word. There is no use you are a spirit man and you don't believe in the word of God. Some people say the Spirit say. And they say the Spirit say some things that it couldn't say. Now, brethren, all of you sitting before me here, I'm going to ask you something fairly. You're not going to answer me. I know it. I feel it. Amen. If the Spirit tell you to go to the Bahamas with the gambling joint they have over in Freeport there and to throw dice, would you go? Amen. Let me see how many people would go. If you are used to hearing the voice of God and you hear a voice tell you, look, I want you to go down to Freeport and I want you to break them and bring the money and give it to the church, would you go? My opinion is that the Spirit of God couldn't tell me that. You understand? I just know that that is not according to the nature of God. I am really amused because I know someone who did it. Amen. Amen. So, you've got to walk in both the Spirit and the Word. For the Word is against covetousness. The Word is against gambling. So God couldn't break His Word by His Spirit. You see? So if His Spirit tells you to go and gamble, you question that Spirit. Praise God. All right. We go a little further. So we see then that we must feed upon clean animals. In other words, if a ministry is in your midst and the ministry is to bring the word of God to you, at least the ministry must be walking in the word that he's preaching. If he's chewing the cud right and he's not walking right, you can't receive him. Praise God. I have seen in the church a great distress in this hour because there are many ministers who are homosexuals. Yes. And they are saying that they have the word of God as much as those who are just normal people. But they might have had the word of God at one time. But they are not qualified to preach because they are against the word of God. Amen. Amen. You see, in Romans we are told that God has these things on his taboo list. And that list will send them right into hell. But not only that, if a man has leprosy, according to the law, he couldn't be a priest. If he had a blemish, somebody cut him with a sword and it got better, he couldn't be a priest according to the law, because he must be without blemish. Well, that law was only to show us that in Christ Jesus we couldn't have a minister that has sin, a living sin going along with him. If he can't get rid of that sin, then he is not fit for a minister. He must continue until he gets rid of the sin, then he can go in for the ministry. So we see the Word of God speaking about eating, feasting upon Jesus, Jesus asking us to eat him as the living bread. It means whatever you take into your soul, that's eating. How do you take into your soul? You take in through your mind. Your mind is your soul mouth. The mouth of your soul is your mind. Now, what have you been using your mind to do? Try and figure it out. Some of the things that you think about, those things are like taking up dirt and putting it in your mouth. You wouldn't take up certain kind of trash and put it in your mouth, yet you will make people come and tell you trash, and you sit down and listen to them without rebuking them. We are going back to John. To see in John, we have taken John already, and we see the spiritual implication. The spiritual implication is that we must eat Jesus Christ through the body. And if we do not feed from the body, we have no life in us. Why? Life from God comes through his body to human beings. Now let's turn to the tabernacle as drawn on the board. We turn to Exodus chapter 25. We're going to have a question time, and you shoot the questions at me. The more questions you ask, the better it will be. Amen. Those who are not here will get your answers. Praise be to God. If I miss anything, you ask me about it. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 23, thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood, 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make there to a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make under it a border of an hand breadth, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about, and thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and the spoons thereof, and the covers thereof, and the bowls thereof, to cover with all. Of pure gold shalt thou make them, and thou shalt set them up, the table of showbread, before me always. Now, the table of showbread, in one dimension, it represents Jesus Christ, the bread. In another dimension, it represents the church. The 12 represent Israel, the Israel of God, 12 loaves of bread. Now, bread is energy and bread is life. And the body of Christ is the bread. Now, let's see here something. First of all, between here and here, there is a man's hand breadth. Secondly, the table is made of wood, overlaid with gold. Wood is humanity. Gold is the nature of God. So it means that you, the ministry, who spread the table, a king's table, you can put there the king's table, you must be covered over. Your natural person, your human nature must be covered over by the nature of God, at least in your ministry. Follow me? This is the reason why it doesn't matter whether you are male or female, while God gives you the power to minister, whatever you minister should be coming from God. Amen. Somebody said they don't want to hear any women minister. And I said, I don't want to hear any men minister. I want to hear Jesus. Amen. It would be a waste of time for you to come here to hear me. It would be a waste of time. It would be better you go see a show. Because if you come to hear me, you couldn't go further than I am. But if you come to hear Jesus Christ, then very well your faith might make Jesus speak to me. So I say to you, the man's hand under here is showing that God has ordained man to feed man. Now I want you to see that with me. That there does not represent the great spirit of Jesus Christ walking in here and opening the Bible and speaking to you. But it represents Jesus Christ in the body, 12 loaves, the completion of bread. Amen. God's government number for his spiritual government on earth, the 12 loaves, are to feed you, hallelujah, and bring energy and life in you. Let me pause here to deviate one bit. The bread always goes with the wine. Amen. The bread always goes with the wine. And if I tell you that the bread is the body of Jesus Christ, that the energy you take in from Jesus, you give it off and bless the people, I should also let you know what the wine is. The wine is the life of Jesus Christ, which is the life of the Father. And this life is given off from you and from people to people. Like a man comes and I lay hands on him and command the devil to leave him or bless him in some way, and he gets deliverance and healing, I give him life. Amen. And that is blood. That is the blood of Jesus Christ. This life tonight is right here in this room. The blood of Jesus Christ will never cease until it takes us into the holiest of all and brings us forth in the full nature of Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, don't go around thinking of a sticky red substance. You think of the energy given off by Jesus. Hallelujah. To lift and bless and pay the price for our sins. And you will know that this life that is in Jesus is working against the death that is in us. Hallelujah. As I told you last night, I remember one day I was called to pray for a man. And I said, oh, I soon go, you know. And I was there making some coal. And one of the sticks jumped up and slapped me right in my forehead. And I saw stars. I jumped out of that hole and ran. And as I begin to run up the street, people begin to run after me. And by the time I reached through those, you call them trails in the bush, and got to the man's home, there were crowds of people running from all directions to come and see what was happening. Blessed be to God, I ran in there and I saw that man's thoughts tearing mad, just with eyes like a ball of fire pulped out of his head and red, and he was just tearing like it. I rushed right in and placed my hands on him in the name of Jesus. The Spirit spoke a few words to a devil. Yeah. Spoke in tongues, brethren. And the man was clothed in his right mind. And said, Brother DeSille, thank you. Please ask for something to eat for me. Praise be to God. That man was brought back from the grave by the energy and the blood of Jesus Christ which he had put upon me. I remember one day we walked 30 miles going down into a place called Mayfield to have a meeting. And when we reached near to Mayfield, going down this track down the mountain, somebody came to meet us, told us that there's a man down the bottom there on the other side of the hill who was dying, who wanted us to pray for him. We rushed down there and we saw that man covered up. And we didn't have the sense to figure out whether the man was living or dead. We rushed in there, put our hands on him, rebuked the devil and shouted. Presently the man opened his big brown eyes and rolled them around and looked at us. We still didn't know what we were doing. We shouted hallelujah, and suddenly the man jumped up in bed, looked around and asked for something to eat. When we went outside, the people didn't believe, and when they came in, there was great excitement and running to and fro. We finally got somebody to ask them, what is the matter? Why are they so frightened? They said the man was dead. They had the burial certificate and his grave was being dug outside. We didn't ask the question. We ran inside. We didn't know he was dead. Maybe if we had known, we wouldn't have prayed for him. Amen. The energy, the life of God that you have in you, you are pulling energy from heaven for the body to deliver God's people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as often as ye eat this bread and drink this wine, remember the Lord's death till he come. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Your question is asked, shall we then do away with the natural eating of the bread and the drinking of the wine? No. This is what we take to remember the Lord's death till he comes. We sit together, we break the bread, but don't let us break the bread as fools anymore. Let us not break the bread in ignorance. Let us know what we are doing. Brother, my soul is your soul. My heart is your heart. I have nothing against you. I break the bread and I eat with you. Hallelujah. I am free from the blood of all men. Hallelujah, said Paul. And so as I break the bread, I know that it is the body of Jesus Christ I am feeding from. And it is the energy that is in the body that I am living on. Hallelujah. Many of us would be dead tonight if it wasn't for that energy that God had put in his body. Somebody rise at midnight and said, Jesus, stop the destruction on such and such a brother. Hallelujah. His brother Terlizzi was telling me the story of when he was in Rome. They were probably thinking of getting the shortest way, getting rid of him by the shortest route. He said somebody in the United States was waking at midnight and said, pray for a man named Terlizzi. That person don't know him, just got the name. Pray for the man named Terlizzi. Sometime after, he met the person. And the testimony, the night he was in danger, he didn't know about it. But energy came from the body of Christ, sent life to him, and he was delivered. Hallelujah. Praise be to God Almighty. Amen. One day we were in West Palm Beach one Sunday morning having service there, and suddenly somebody rushed in and said, brethren, please, brother so-and-so has just broken his back and is in the hospital. Pray for him. Blessed be to God. I said, brethren, let us stand. And as the brethren stood, I say, every one of you have guardian angels with you. Every one of you have strength and power. I said, send some of it right now to the hospital and let us all pray God that he be healed. Immediately the whole church cried out and sent forth life from that church. Somebody saw a vision of the angels of God moving out through the church. Blessed be to God Almighty. Monday morning when the doctors came, they couldn't find the man's broken back. His back was broken Sunday, and Monday they couldn't find it. Amen. By Friday he was back on his team playing with his basketball team. Praise be to God. I believe therefore that as we sit and dine from the table of God, tonight you are taking energy from the body of Christ. You are receiving food that had been given by Jesus Christ himself. I remember when God called me, he said, go take 1,000 pounds of food to the household. Amen. In my dream, I stumbled trying to find the household. I found one house, I couldn't give them the food, they didn't want it. I found another house, I couldn't give them. I found another house, I couldn't give them. Presently I came on the top of the hill, looked down into the valley, and there spreading in the sunlight was a glorious palatial household of God. White and glistening in the sun, made of marble. Hallelujah. I saw a bride standing on the step, ready to go, and I saw two cars parked on the roof. But one car was black and one was white. For years I couldn't find out what that one meant. For years God kept me in the dark. And then as I remained faithful to him, not giving off anything that he didn't tell me, I couldn't interpret that, and I said I couldn't interpret it, and God heard me and he decided he was going to give me a break. He came to me, he said, you know what that black car is? I said, no, Lord. He said, that black car is the false movement inside of the body that is going to steal away the false bride, and the five foolish virgins will go with them. And they'll end up in the tribulation and torment outside here. But the five wise virgins will wait. Will wait till God is ready to send that white car off to the wedding feast. Praise be to God. And so Jesus said, eat me. And this is how we eat Jesus. By eating from the body of Christ. I'm going to close on this note, brethren. There are many bodies. There are many, many bodies. Many groups. Many teachings. You can take poison into your spiritual system as anybody could do naturally. You can eat the wrong food and get spiritually sick. As anybody could do naturally. But you can wait on the Lord. And you can eat from the body of Christ. And you can bring forth energy and life to a dying world. What am I talking about? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews for me. I know the question. The question is, how do I know the body of Christ? Amen. Well, the Lord said, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. There is no shortcut. You're not going to know the body of Christ by counting how many buttons they wear on their clothes. You won't know the body of Christ by any carnal, physical thing that I or anybody else can tell you. but you're going to know the body of Christ because you belong to it. Yes. When your heart is true with God, you will know those who are true with God. And you'll feel the vibration of the energy from heaven strike you and bless you when you are in their midst. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the church, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to one perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. I am saying, brethren, that most of the churches today deny this. Most of the churches today deny this word. They do not believe that God has apostles. They do not believe that God has prophets. They do not believe that God has evangelists and pastors and teachers. What am I talking about? I am saying that the majority of churches will not accept the apostles that God appoints. If you don't belong to their church, you don't preach in their congregation. No matter how much life you have to give to them, they don't want it from you because you don't belong to their congregation. I remember going into a church in a certain city in the United States. And this church was one of the big organizational churches. But this church in particular was on a low beat. And there was the balcony filled with cobwebs. And for years it seemed that nobody ever went up there. Amen. And there was a hole in the roof right over my head. And the walls were out of repair. But this was a big auditorium type church. And we started keeping meetings there. And before 3 weeks were over, the church was full and the balcony was cleaned up. And they started repairing the building. Hallelujah. And when we went in there at night, people start dropping at the altar and receiving the Holy Ghost from the pianist, start to play and sing. Amen. Blessed be to God Almighty. But headquarters sent down. Who is this man? They said. Who is this man? You shame us with a man who is preaching doctrines contrary to our doctrines. Who is this man that is bringing life to that church down there who didn't join with us? Blessed be to God Almighty. They turned me out of the church. And Jesus left. The revival died. And everything started going down the valley. Brethren, the Lord has put the apostle and the prophet and the pastor and the teacher and in the body and the evangelist, and you better recognize those who have the approval of God. Hallelujah. For if you don't recognize those who have the approval of God, your life will be short. You are going to pay for it. This is the reason why the church system has no life. If the church system gets smart this day, right now, every church in Stockton get together, get smart, say, okay, let's all just be one church. Let's just move together. Let the Holy Ghost move and the Pentecostal come in and shout and speak in tongues. And you know what would happen? Revival would start, and all those cobwebs that they have tying up the feet and the hands and the head of the people in the churches would leave. I said the cobweb would leave. I meant the spiders. Amen. Amen. Blessed be to God. And the people of God would get the blessing. You know what I discovered? I discovered that the gospel which we are striving for, we have it. He said it was once delivered unto the saints. We have it, but we will not recognize the people who will make up the part that we didn't have. We are all part of a great big thing. Did you notice this piece here? It says, until we come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Brother, you will never come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ by yourself.
Amen.
It's when we all get together like pieces of a great big jigsaw puzzle that we are going to fit Jesus Christ. Some people striving for perfection. You better get the body going with you. You hear me? You don't think you're going to run off and get perfect and leave God's people behind there. You don't think you're going to fast and pray and fast yourself right into the glory of God when God's people are behind you left there. You have got to consider that we are all going into this thing together. And the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the teachers must keep on anointing the body until the body come to life. Messiah. Kurian. And when the body of Jesus comes to life, then she begins to minister.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, our great problem is that we will not feed on the food that God has provided for us. We are trying to feed everywhere else. You cannot deny what God has put in the body and live. You will be weak and sickly. Let me emphasize that and then I close. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to just explain that point just one little more, a little bit more. The body of Christ is the organism, or better word now, is the people whom God has given the revelation of the truth. And the very angels in heaven do not know how we are going to win this battle and overcome this devil. But they are waiting on us to reveal it to them through Christ, the revelation of Christ in us. Because I don't know either. And you don't know. But there is something that's going to work in us that will reveal Jesus Christ to the world and to the angels and to the saints. For the saints that are gone on, they never conquered everything. There were some things they never overcame. Some saints, brethren, never overcome smoking. Some saints never overcome drinking. They died before they really overcame it. You want me to tell you the name of one of those saints? The thief on the cross. He was a murderer a few days before he was killed. He was only a Christian for 1 second. He just accepted Jesus Christ and died. Therefore, he has to learn from you and I, from the battle that we fight daily. Okay. You don't know where that is in the scripture? It's in Hebrews chapter 12. For we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Therefore, let us run the race with patience. God has set these witnesses to learn from us. Yes. Hallelujah. The scriptures tell us that they will be taught by the church the manifold goodness of God. That the principalities and powers in heavenly places will be taught by the church the manifold goodness of God.
Yes.
Don't you see, brethren, that we better do better? The earth, the people, and the world is depending on us. They are not going to see Jesus Christ unless they see through us. You hear me? If we don't show them Jesus, the only Jesus they're going to see is the judgment Jesus when he comes to judge the quick and the dead. God has put us here as manifestations of God. And whatever we do, we are manifesting God and God's goodness. And so the world is waiting on us to give them God. The angels are waiting on us to show them how. You want me to read the scripture or you know it? Should I go back into the Bible and start all over again? Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Let us turn our Bibles around to Ephesians again. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. And we begin at verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities. You know what a principality is? A prince who rules over a polity. The polity is the area which he rules over, and the princy means the prince. So a principality, principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. It is we who are teaching the angels and the men, both in the heavenlies and on earth, how men fight the devil and overcome him. Amen. So if you have any problem, you can overcome the devil by the battle that you fight here. And the angels are looking on. And I tell you something. I promise you something. Somebody has a problem here tonight you can't overcome. Tonight when this service, when we're through with the preaching, you come right up here. And I'm going to lay hands on you, and I'm going to speak personally to the problem, and I will show you the manifold goodness and power of God tonight. Hallelujah. Because the power of God is already on that problem, and I'm going to drive that problem away from you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know what the problem is. I know whom the person is. Praise God. Yes. Let's turn to Peter, 1 Peter. Hallelujah. 1 Peter. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 12, I'm sorry. 2, chapter 1, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Amen. So we had some brethren who went around asking angels doctrine. Certain angels appeared to them and they start asking them doctrine. I don't want any doctrine from any angel when I have the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost and God is revealing himself to the church, not to angels. They don't understand what's happening. They have to wait until we reveal Jesus Christ to them and the power of his glory in us. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. So therefore, we must feed at the right place, or else we won't have any life in us. I'm giving you a little wisdom. You will know the right place to feed if the place you are feeding, you are not getting any life out of it. Follow me? If it doesn't help you, if it doesn't strengthen you, if it doesn't help you out of sin, if it doesn't deliver you, then that's not the right place to be. Find somewhere else to feed. If you go to one restaurant and the food isn't good, go somewhere else, get good food. That's what you're out for. Hallelujah. Amen. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Blessed be to God Almighty. I don't know why you brethren are divided. I don't know why any son of God is divided from any other son of God. For if a son of God is out of order, all you have to do is chastise him in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about physical talking to him. You don't even talk to him. You go to God and talk to God, and he better get in line, or else he doesn't survive. We must have power with God. But the body of Jesus Christ must come together, and every human being who claims the name of Christ, think about this. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise your name, Jesus.